Okay, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can meet once again. We pray that even as we continue with our study of the book of Ecclesiastes, that the wisdom from this book can be something that we can understand and assimilate in our life. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time and bless the time of celebration later for those whose birthday fall within these 2 months. We also remember those who are not well. We pray that you will be with them and help them to recover. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about this whole idea of, you know, this comparative idea between one thing and one that is a better thing, right? And then last week I spoke to you about this whole idea of how it is better to have a good name than to have precious ointment, how it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And we had to frame it in its right perspective. And then this idea of how we should learn to, you know, it's better to sorrow than to, you know, just laugh and spend your whole life just laughing, right? I think we need to see all these things in its right perspective. There are better ways of doing things, better perspectives, better things to focus on with the time that God has given to us. And of course, there is the idea of eternity in mind too, that eternal life has to be real as we go through life. Because we should not just focus on the things of this world. Sometimes we get so caught up with the things of this world that we don't learn to see beyond this life. And we must see. I was just talking to someone during lunch, and you know, sometimes you're so focused on this world, you're so focused on this life, that we hold so tightly to this life. And then when we go through a situation, we become very fearful because we're so focused on hanging on to these things of this life. We love so much the things of this life that we cannot see beyond. So I had to help this person to understand that actually eternal life is so much more important, right? And that is something that we have to keep in view. Now, today we're going to talk about a few more better things, you know. So this whole series is all what is better, what is better, what is better, right? And so we come to Ecclesiastes 7. So you notice it is better, a good name is better, sorrow is better. Then we come to verse 5. It says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Right? Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Okay. Right. So let's take a look at all these so-called wise sayings and how to look at these things. And I think it's very obvious to us that whenever we need to be corrected, it is better than to just listen to the song of a fool. Okay, what does that mean? The songs of fools. For it's the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the fool. What is the song of fools? Now maybe we begin first. What's the song of a fool? What's the song of a fool? How does a fool sing? What kind of song do they sing? Have you heard of a fool singing? Then, I mean, how do you recognize this person singing is a fool?
enough.
Huh?
Annoying.
Okay, that's annoying. Karaoke in the HDB flat area. Is that what it's meant? The song of a fool. What's the song of a fool?
Things that sound nice.
Things that sound nice? Meaning? Like what?
Yes, man.
Huh?
Yes, man.
The?
Yes, man.
Yes, man. Okay, song of a fool. Keep going. Like what?
Like comparing to the review of the wise, so like people that don't know, but they just like support you, like, I don't know.
In other words, well, okay, what's the opposite of review?
Praise.
But praise, if it's valid, it's good, right? But praise when it's... What?
Empty.
Sorry?
Empty praises.
Empty praises, like what? What's empty praises?
Flattery.
So the song of a fool is flattery. Right? When people flatter you. And that's what we all want to hear. We want to hear people flatter us. Well done, very good. You know, when actually you may not have done a very good job. So here is a person, the fool, the songs of a fool are words of flattery. They are words to compliment a person. And it's meant to make people feel good. Right? Such words very often are superficial and they are worthless. Okay? And because the song of a fool of flattery, you don't learn anything. There may be things that you should learn. There may be things that may be wrong. But because this person prefers to, you know, be nice to you, or to win points from you, I think a lot of employees want to carry favor. They want to win points from their boss. They will never criticize. They will always compliment, right? But these things do not help. It is very often useless. Okay, what is the crackling of thorns under a pod, branches of what's that? Ice. So nice. Even bring umbrella to you. You didn't bring. Stop raining. Okay. Yeah, I saw you walking out with an umbrella. I said, wow, so nice, very good. Right? So basically, crackling of thorns, basically the thorns, when it's being on fire, it will make a popping sound, and basically it's useless. Right? It's just making a lot of noise, but it's no use. And the fool can keep on laughing. He can laugh through life. Okay, but he's no wiser. But on the other hand, if a person is rebuked correctly, he learns. Okay, he learns, he listens to rebukes, and he responds to them, he's the wiser. And I think that's something that sometimes we find it very hard to accept rebuke or to accept correction. But when we are humble enough to listen and we are corrected, we are so much the wiser. There's a lot more understanding. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 13. So in Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. Okay? But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Honor will come. When you are corrected and you learn to do that which is right. Okay? You are humble and you learn, you'll be honored. Now that to me is wisdom. 15 and in verse 32. 15 verse 32, the Lord, verse 32, he who disdain Verse 31, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Okay? When you learn to be a person who is rebuked, then you learn to be associated with those who are wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. He who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Okay, so when we don't learn, we are not humble enough to learn, what happens is that your soul is affected. But when you truly learn and you are humble enough, when you are corrected, you gain much knowledge, you gain understanding. You are so much the better. Okay, one more. 19 verse 25. Strike a scoffer and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who is understanding and he will discern knowledge. I tell you, one of the things that I allow correction and rebuke to come, and obviously it comes from pastor. Our classes half the time, when he speaks over pulpit, wow, it's very nice, he'll talk to you all nicely. But when he talks to the pastoral team, it's a different person. I hate to say it, but sometimes it looks like Mr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, wow. The way he corrects people, wow, can be very fierce. Right? So, we all learn. And I've been learning from him all these years. 30 years already. Why am I still learning? Why am I still willing to be rebuked? And he still rebukes us, all of us. Why? Because I learn. Because I'm the wiser. And to me, the most important thing is discernment. You can discern things. And I really, really appreciate that. When you can discern between nuances, you can discern between truths, you can discern between that which is good and excellent. Discernment to me is the most important thing. And that's why I continue to learn and to be rebuilt and to be corrected. Okay, and you need to have a tough skin. You want to serve God, you need to have spiritual toughness. You cannot be sensitive. You know, sometimes when someone rebukes you or corrects you, then you are very sensitive, you are very personal, then it's very hard to teach you. But when you are humble, you are wise, then when someone corrects you, rebukes you, you take it in the right way. Some years ago, when I was trying to correct someone on the email, and I was a bit firm lah. Straight, the person don't want to talk to you. Stop sending email. Okay, that's fine. Right? But to me, the person has not learned because the person is not humble enough to learn. And there are times when we need to be rebuked. We need to be corrected. Right? But that's where, are you humble enough to learn? It's for your own good. It's for you to be wiser. It's for you to be more discerning. Okay? So to me, that's something that I think what Solomon wrote here is important. Okay? Then the next part here is oppression and bribes. Surely oppression destroys a man's reason. What does that mean? Destroys a man's reason. And a bribe debases the heart. Years ago, when I first became a student pastor, and I was introducing a wedding, I spelled wrongly, so I wrote down, let us all stand as we greet the bride. The pastor laughed. Okay, spelling, very important. Okay, so, bribe. Okay, of course we understand, right? Debases the heart. But why oppression destroys a man's reason, a wise man's reason? How can oppression destroy a wise man's reason? What does that mean?
What kind of oppression is this?
Say, okay, say for example, if you are constantly being oppressed, someone oppresses you. Yeah, so along the way, you start reasoning foolishly, right? If you are going through oppression, and you are being oppressed all the time, and you can't take it, after a while, you start reasoning differently. Even though you are wise, you may start reasoning foolishly. Can you see? Yeah, well, okay, let me give you an example, okay? Years ago, there was this pilot who had a boss who was very oppressive. Every day he would, tekan, the word tekan means whack the guy, scold him, belittle him, quiz him. So this is what we call instructors. They are instructors who instruct pilots. And he was a junior instructor to this senior instructor, and this senior instructor was oppressing him every day, belittling him. So this senior pilot, senior instructor, went through a course, but he failed, and when he came back, he was very disgruntled about everything. He was just oppressing this junior instructor. And, I mean, if you are a pilot, you have to reach a certain stage in life, tells you that you have a certain amount of intelligence and right? And one day, because every day he was oppressed for many months, one day he sent his children to school. He went up to a HDB flat, and then he jumped after sending his children to school. That is how a person's reasoning can change because of oppression. You start thinking differently. You allow yourself to think otherwise. Even foolishly. Can you see that?
So it's not more of putting the blame on, when they say foolishly.
Yeah.
It can, in that context, would be kind of so it's internalizing.
Your response to it differently. You start thinking differently.
It's a twisted mindset.
Yeah, you start thinking differently. Mm-hmm. You are no longer thinking wisely. Mm-hmm. So your reasoning is affected because of oppression.
The action is not bound towards
Personal. Absolutely. So, if you are going to be a boss one day, don't oppress your the people under you. Don't, be wise, be gracious, right? Sure, you got to push for work to be done, but you got to be. Don't use oppression. It's easy for people to just oppress others, right? Or to use bribes. So today's newspaper, there was a person. He is some officer, immigration officer, no prison officer, right? He was a prison officer, police officer, and the inmate bribed him. I think $3,000 or something like that. Asked him to get prohibited things bring into the prison, and he was caught. $3,000-$4,000, and then that's it. Your career is gone. You got to go to jail. He was charged, and he's got to go to jail. Very often, when you do these kind of things, you are made as an example. Okay, if it's like a first time offense, no one has ever done it. The government will always make you an example, and your the penalty is always worse. Okay? So don't be the first person to commit certain types of crimes in Singapore. Don't even do think about it. Right? They will always make you, so always remember this, okay? They will always make you an example. So don't even try it. Okay? That's how the government does things. My father has been a policeman all these years. I have listened to many stories because people commit crime, they will come, and then my father will try to explain things to them, what's going to happen, and you know, and so on and so forth. So bribe, please, don't bribe anybody. Okay, no, worth it. Huh? Okay, you want to go and get this artifact from somewhere, right? I go and bribe this brother, don't, not worth it. Huh? Okay. Okay, now let's go on to the next part. Now, to me, the more relevant is this one. The next one is, the end is better than its beginning. Especially 2.4 run. Right, for some of you. Right, the end is better than the beginning. Okay, what does this mean? Like, okay, for example, if you want to start a company, right, it's a startup. The end, you know, the beginning is always very hard. You got to put in a lot of work into it, right? And then at the end, you know, when you have done well, it's always better. Okay? That's how you want to see life. Life, okay, beginning part, everybody celebrates birth of a child. But, you know, the child still has to grow up. The child has to go through all the challenges of life, problems, difficulties. The end of the life is always better. Okay? That's what he's trying to get at. The end of the matter is completed. Looking at the end in mind, when we focus on God, when there's effort, when there's prayer. And then come to this interesting part. At least just this verse 8. It says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Right? He says the patient in spirit is better than the impatient. It should be impatient in spirit, right? The patient in spirit should be better than the impatient in spirit, isn't it? But instead of using impatient in spirit, he uses the word proud. Okay? Why? Why does he use the word proud? Why proud in spirit? Why proud in spirit? Okay, so when you are proud in spirit, you will have a impatient spirit, right? When you are proud in heart, you will always have an impatient spirit. Now that's very interesting, okay? And that is something a lot of people struggle with. And I think pride is a sin that many of us struggle with. And because we are proud, very often we are impatient. Anger comes about. Whereas the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. And there are many things. Why you smile? There are many things that will cause us to be angry, annoyed, impatient, fed up very quickly. And a lot has to do with the heart. Okay? And this is something that I think we all struggle with. So this morning at the special needs parents gathering, we had a time and we talked, and all of them began to share, they all struggle with this. They struggle with impatience. Right? Especially when people comment, when people say things, when people, so like for example, one of them was was with the special needs child, and then the person behind made a comment and said, why are you standing in the line? And then the father was so angry, turned around the person, she's with me! Oh, and then the person said,
I shouldn't have said that. I was so angry. And he said, some more after church. Lining up for food after church. See, I felt so guilty of that. Yeah, I said, it's okay, no worries. Yeah. But you see, a lot of times we all are very reactive. You know, we tend to be reactive rather than to be patient. So how do we learn to be patient in spirit? You all struggle with this? Yes, no, you're very patient. Zen all the time. No. Yes. How? You all struggle with this? I think we all, some of us, not all, but I think some of us struggle with this being hot-tempered. I do. I mean, to me, that's one of the things that I had to struggle with for many, many, many years. It just comes out, right? Short fuse, you know, it's like, you know, short fuse, you know. It's very interesting. Long-suffering, I think I don't know whether I explained to you, the word long-suffering actually means long fuse. You know, long suffering, actually it's a fuse that is very, very long. You don't explode straight away. Long, you know, long suffering. Wow, it's not easy. It's not easy to deal with these things. Okay, how? What do you think? Especially trying to explain to your patients. Same for both of you too? very common. Sure, definitely. Yeah, there are some people that just feel so entitled, you know? It's really, really... you're right, annoying. It really gets to you sometimes. But I think the challenge is always, how do we want to respond now, right? You can react like all your friends complain. And as you work further, you realize your heart also, after a while, you also become complaining. And it's something that we all struggle with, right? And it's always a challenge. How do I want to respond differently? Audrey, how? It's not you're smiling with a big smile.
It's true.
Yeah, how is it true?
I think it's harder when there are people who just know how to say the right things in the wrong, as in say things that will just take you off.
Yeah.
Sure. I think those times it's harder to it's easier to respond impatiently.
Mm.
It's easier because it's like, oh, everything that's being said just picks you at the wrong side.
Sure.
And I think that's where the most challenging part is on. That's where the challenge always comes.
Sure. Definitely. Right. And I think we all have our own stories, right, with people who they say the things that really, really put you off, and sometimes it's their action. Sometimes, some things to me, it is so unnecessary, and yet it's unfortunate that they would do certain things to others, and so on and so forth, right? I think we all have our own stories. So the challenge is, how should we learn to cope with all these things? How should we be more patient? And obviously, in the book of Proverbs, they talk about how we can be slow to wrath. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 14. Again, and I think it's about discernment again. It's about wisdom, gaining, praying, seeking after wisdom, to such an extent that wisdom begins to be part of us and how we respond. Okay, so wisdom is something that you have to constantly seek after, pray for, seek to understand further, and then finally being able to actually respond with wisdom. So Proverbs 14 and in verse 29, we read, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding." You see? If you want to slow to wrath, you want to react patiently, it actually takes a lot of wisdom and understanding. You see? It's not so straightforward. It's not, okay, you have a bit of wisdom, you can actually do it. So there's a lot of truth in this, that it takes a lot of wisdom and understanding to such an extent that actually you can respond differently. Now, I must say that it's taken me many years of learning, many years of understanding, discernment, and then coming to a point where I began to not look at a person, but I began to look at a person's soul. What began to change how I regard people is that I began to look at a person's soul. Sure, the outward person is like that. He is annoying, whatever, but very often, when you see a person, there's something maybe more to it than what you see. And so I tend to look at a person's soul now. Maybe the person is going through a very, very, very rough time. Maybe the person has gone through difficulties and he just feels so upset with the world. And of course, some are just genuinely very, very entitled. Some of them are just so out of this world. But then I begin to look at the soul. And very often, sometimes, I see the person as a non-believer. And the person is no wiser. The person comes from a stage where he has gone through a lot of darkness. He is still in darkness. He doesn't know what is right and wrong. There's no discernment. So I began to see people differently. I don't put the person as same as people in church. I don't. I put them as a different category. And I began to try to see things differently. Right? Okay, that's one of the things I try to do. Another thing, as I learn with greater understanding, is to follow the Lord Jesus. How would He respond? Right? How would He, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, he'll bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. So I will not shout. Right? A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He will not give up on people. Right? He will not be discouraged till he has established justice on the earth. Right? And so the challenge is, I want to control, I want to have self-control. So one of the first things I learn is to have self-control. And I tell you, self-control is far harder than you think it is. Right? When you're angry, when you're upset, when you're annoyed, boom, no control. Right? When you're hot-tempered, wow, very hard to control. And one of the things I've learned through the years is self-control. How to control your spirit. How to learn not to let anger overcome you, right? Another one, let's turn to Proverbs 16 and in verse 32. Proverbs 16 and in verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than a mighty. He who rules his spirit, that's self-control. Do you know how to rule your spirit? Okay, so that's one of the things I've cultivated and I've learned through the... How do I learn to rule my spirit? Because here is a king, and the king doesn't rule his spirit. He gets upset. You know what? Straight away, let's go and fight. Let's take over the city, right? I go and fight with you. I'm angry with you. I want to teach you a lesson. I attack your city. Right? But if I'm a person who is wise, I learn to rule my spirit, I'm not going to attack. Right? I have self-control. I learn to pull back. Maybe there's a better way of doing this. There's a wiser way of doing things. Rather than react with vengeance or with anger, you know, you quickly get angry. Don't hasten to be angry. So that is the pride that is within us. The pride hastens to anger. The pride reacts very quickly. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Right? Straight away you are upset, you are angry, you are perturbed. And that's pride within us. And some of the things I begin to pray for a lot is, Lord, help me to be humble. So the opposite of pride is to learn to be humble. Okay, when you are humble, you learn to slow down a bit, you learn how to be a bit more gentle, you learn how to rule your spirit, you learn how to regard people differently. And I think that's something that we all can continue to learn. And that is wisdom. Wisdom is never just theoretical. Wisdom is what you assimilate. It's what becomes a part of you. And the moment it becomes part of you, it stays with you. You become a bit more gentle. So the Lord has to do this work within your heart. That's where cleansing needs to come. Okay, let me share with you also from what I shared in special needs. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Partly is also how to have a bigger heart of love. Okay, how do I have a bigger heart of love for people?
right? So in 22, chapter 1, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, what are ways that we can regard people a bit better, even though they can be really, really annoying? Right, the Bible tells us that we are to love our enemies, we are to love people. So how can we have a bigger heart of love? So that's one of the things I started praying for. Right? It's to how to have a bigger heart of love. How? How to have a heart that is, you know, where love, there's greater quality of love and there's greater quantity of love. There's greater intensity of love. There's greater fervency of love. See, this is the next level. Right? A pure heart. The word pure is where you get the idea of a cleansed heart. Right? It's not a heart that's just pure, you know, okay, I have a pure heart. No. It is a heart that has been cleansed. And if you really want to have this kind of love, you need to be cleansed. The heart needs to be cleansed. Can you see that? Okay. Now, it's very interesting. In verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Okay, since you have purified your soul. Now, these two things are very important. How to have this kind of love? One is the deep appreciation of our spiritual regeneration. So there must be this deep appreciation of spiritual regeneration. Regeneration means to be born again. Born again means we are born not of corruptible seed. Corruptible seed is physical origin, right? Natural way. But born of incorruptible seed is that now we have a divine DNA. Okay? In other words, within us, we have the potential to be like the Lord. There is this DNA. You know the DNA, right? The DNA tells us that we have the potential to reflect the Lord's glory one day. You follow? Okay. You understand? Come on. Okay. Meaning that we can become like the Lord. We can reflect His glory. So, when you have a deep appreciation, you can understand, you know what? Despite our sinfulness, despite all that we are, one day from glory to glory, we can become more like the Lord. Tomorrow, Pastor Mark will be talking about that at the morning worship service. Okay? That is the kind of love. Now, it's very interesting. The word love, 22, love, sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sincere love is where you get the word Philadelphia in Greek. You know what's Philadelphia? Sorry? What? What is it? Cheese? Okay, I think... Yeah, well done. Cheese. Okay, in the States, there's a place called Philadelphia, right? So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Not cheese. Okay, that too, cheese. Yeah, I'm quite surprised by your answer. Right? So Philadelphia is brotherly love. Now, the second love is where you get agape kind of love, agapao. Okay, so he makes a distinction. It's a deeper kind of love. It is God's kind of love. Right? It's a different level kind of love. And in order to have that, we need to purify our soul. Is it? Not just the heart, but our soul, having purified our soul. Since you have purified your soul, now, purify your soul is an active thing. That means you do it. It's not salvation, okay? It is an active thing that you must do. Okay? An active thing that you must do in obeying the truth through the Spirit. It comes when you truly understand the truth of the Word of God. When you understand the truth and you obey, it's very, very enlightening. It sets you free. It helps you to change. It cleanses you. And the Spirit of God is there. You will bear the fruit of sincere love. And when you do these things, when you purify your soul, see, it has to go deep enough. Right? If you really want to have a pure heart of love, that purifying effect has to go deep enough until your soul, your spirit. Can you see that? It's not just cleansing the heart. The soul, the spirit has to change. Because very often when we have, you know, when we are angry, when we are upset, it's actually our spirit. It's not just the heart, it's our spirit. And the Lord has to do this work of cleansing deep enough until your very soul is pure and cleansed. So this was something that I was challenging. And you were talking about anger and all. And I think that's something we all need too. We need the Lord to cleanse us. Deep enough until the soul is purified. And then we can love. And then there comes forth a pure, special kind of love for others. See, sometimes why we get very annoyed with people, very often sometimes is maybe our hearts are not big enough. We don't know how to love enough. Right? So during the week, I was at the next MRT. I think I've shared with you all before. And there's this old man there. I don't know whether you all have seen the person selling tissue paper. And so every time I go there, I see him, I'll give him $10. But this time I look at my wallet, I got $50. And I was thinking, should I give? Or should I? Ask him for change. No. And next week, don't they give? Next 4 weeks, don't they give? No lah. See, that's the MAS calculation. No, I decided I'm just going to give him. So I do the $50 and I gave it to him. And I think he was a bit taken aback by the amount that I gave him. Because he looked at it and he was a bit shocked. But I say, you know what? That's for him. That's okay. Let him have a good meal today. Right? And I always ask myself, can I have a bigger heart of love for people? Okay? So my challenge to you all, the challenge, one, let's keep learning. Let's, even though we are corrected, it's better to be, you know, to take rebukes than just to listen to the laughter of. Okay, don't bribe people, don't take shortcuts, don't oppress others. But more than that, let's learn to have patience. Learn to be patient. To me, one of the most important characteristics, virtues that you must have in this life is to be patient. Because many things that you will go through in life, you have to learn to wait upon. When you have a lot more patience, anger is something that doesn't surface as much. Okay? Better to have a patient spirit. Okay? Okay, any questions? If not, we've got to go down to celebrate Audrey's birthday.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for gems of truth, of wisdom that we can learn from a book of Ecclesiastes. Help us, Lord, to learn to be that much more patient in spirit and not to be proud in spirit, allowing ourselves to respond with anger and with impatience. We pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to cleanse our hearts, especially our soul. Help us to change, help us to obey the truths that we are learning from your word. We pray that you continue to change us, that we may have a big heart of love for others. So do this work within us, and bless the time that we're going to have downstairs. In Jesus' name we pray.